Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something that seems, well, pretty basic on the surface, but actually, when you dig in, it gets you thinking about some really fundamental financial choices.
That's right.
We're talking about the humble savings account. You know, for a lot of us, that's the very first place we saw our money earn. Something. Interest.
The first taste.
But when we say investing, usually we picture, I don't know, stocks, maybe bonds, real estate, something a bit more active.
Exactly. And that's the core question for this deep dive, isn't it? Is a savings account really an investment? And, you know, the sources we looked at, they're pretty clear. There's no simple yes or no here. It really depends.
Depends on what?
On what you need your money to do. What are your expectations? Are you purely focused on keeping it safe, capital preservation, or are you looking for actual growth, real returns?
Okay. So defensive versus offensive money. I like that framing.
Precisely.
Because a savings account, yeah, it's safe, predictable, low returns. You know what you're getting, mostly.
Which, technically, by the absolute broadest definition, you could argue makes it an investment. It is earning something.
But, and this is the big but, it almost never keeps up with inflation.
Yeah.
And the opportunity cost, well, that's huge.
Absolutely. So today, we need to unpack how they work, really weigh those pros and cons, compare it properly to other things you could do with your money, and then maybe look at some more modern ways to get decent returns without taking on massive risk.
Okay, let's do it. Now, we probably don't need to spend ages defining things like liquidity or compounding. Our listeners get that. Let's focus on the intent. What makes something an investment versus just saving?
Okay, so an investment, fundamentally, it's putting money to work with the specific aim of generating a substantial return over time. We're talking real growth.
Growth that beats inflation, right, significantly.
Yes, exactly. Growth in purchasing power, think stocks, bonds, real estate, those are the classic examples.
Right, and contrast that with a savings account. What's its main job?
Its primary function, safety and access, capital preservation and high liquidity. It's like a holding bay.
A safe harbor, maybe?
Yeah, it's a safe harbor. Not really an engine designed to make your money grow significantly. The bank pays you a little interest because they're using your deposited funds, sure.
They lend it out at a higher rate.
Exactly. You get a tiny slice for letting them use it, but that slice is rarely competitive with what the market offers elsewhere.
Okay, so that leads us straight into the main trade-off, the thing people maybe don't always think about explicitly.
Which is?
When you choose a savings account, you're essentially buying something. You're buying peace of mind, psychological comfort, and that guarantee of instant access, you know, thanks to deposit insurance and things like that.
That's a great way to put it.
Right.
You're paying a premium for zero volatility.
Mm.
It feels safe because the number doesn't go down, barring fees. But, you know, some finance folks argue this preference for high liquidity is a kind of behavioral bias, risk aversion. People fear the potential loss in the market more than the certain loss from inflation.
Certain loss? That sounds stark.
Well, it is, mathematically. If your money is instantly available, you feel secure. But that security has a very real, measurable cost.
Let's talk more about that cost, because you said certain loss. You mean inflation, right? The idea that a savings account can be a way of losing money safely.
Precisely. That's the inflation trap. It's unavoidable with very low interest rates. Let's say you've got, I don't know, $10,000 in an account earning maybe 0.5% APY. Just picking a number.
Okay. Pretty typical for some basic accounts historically.
Right. But if inflation, the rate prices are rising, is running at, say, 3%.
Then you're losing ground.
You're losing 2.5% of your purchasing power every year. In real terms, the number in your account might tick up slightly. $10,000 becomes $10,050.
But what that $10,050 can actually buy has shrunk?
Significantly. A year later, that basket of goods costs more like $10,300.
Oh,
you've lost ground.
Okay. That's critical.
It really is. And this trade-off is exactly why, you know, more sophisticated investors use savings accounts very strategically, very limited roles.
Like what?
Emergency funds, usually. Money you absolutely need to be safe and accessible within, say, the next 6, maybe 12 months max.
Like for a house deposit down payment or a known upcoming expense.
Exactly. Anything with a longer time horizon than that. Keeping it in a low-yield savings account becomes a serious drag on your overall portfolio's ability to grow.
Right. So if we reframe it, stop thinking of it as just a good place for money and see it as a very specific tool, a safety net, not a wealth builder, then the pros and cons become much clearer.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's lay them out. The pros first. The non-negotiable advantage, safety and liquidity. It's about as safe as it gets, often insured, and you can get your cash out almost instantly.
Correct. And it's simple. You don't need to be a financial whiz. There's no market news to track constantly. It's passive protection.
Simple, passive, safe, liquid. Got it.
But then you look at the cons, and the picture flips completely.
Okay, hit me with the cons.
The biggest one structurally is the opportunity cost. We touched on it. That same $10,000 we talked about. If instead of earning 0.5%, it was sitting in, say, a money market fund earning maybe 5%.
Which has been possible in recent environments.
Exactly. That 4.5% difference, that's pure lost potential earnings.
Yeah.
And that compounds year after year. That's the real price you pay for that simplicity and zero volatility.
Ouch. Okay. What else?
Well, related to the low return is the limited compounding effect. Compounding is, you know, magic, but only when the rate is high enough to actually accelerate growth meaningfully.
Interest earning interest.
Right. But when the rate is barely above zero, compounding doesn't really do much. It's almost inert functionally.
So if the growth isn't even beating inflation,
then you're not really accumulating wealth. You're just maybe slowing down the rate at which your money's value erodes, which isn't the goal of investing.
Definitely not. Okay, that sets us up nicely for the comparison part. How does the savings account stack up against actual investment vehicles?
Yeah, this is where you see the different roles really clearly.
It's not about saying one is bad and one is good, necessarily.
No, it's about using the right tool for the right job. If you put the savings account on that classic risk-reward spectrum, it's kind of off on its own, isn't it?
How so?
Very low risk, very low growth potential, but uniquely high liquidity. Its superpower is being a safe, accessible vault for cash. Nothing beats it on that front.
Okay. Now let's compare. What about bonds?
Okay. Bonds. Generally, they're considered low to medium risk, lower than stocks anyway.
Right.
But they offer potentially higher, more consistent growth than savings, mainly through regular interest payments. The goal is typically to preserve capital while generating income that aims to beat inflation.
So similar preservation idea, but with an actual growth engine attack.
A more effective one, yes. Though liquidity can vary depending on the bond type and market conditions.
Okay.
Then the big one, stocks.
Stocks. Yeah. Medium to high risk. We all know that. But that's where the highest potential for long-term growth comes from. Absolutely essential for wealth accumulation over decades.
But volatile. The price of admission is riding out the ups and downs. Absolutely. Liquidity is generally good for major stocks, but the value can swing wildly day to day, which again highlights the time horizon point.
Right. You wouldn't put your emergency fund in stocks.
Please don't. Just like you wouldn't keep your retirement fund entirely in a savings account for 30 years. Different tools, different jobs.
Makes sense. Then, what about real estate?
Real estate.
Yeah.
Typically medium risk, high growth potential over the long term. It's a tangible asset. People like that can generate rental income too.
But the catch?
Liquidity. It's generally low. Selling property takes time, effort, and money. You can't just click a button and get your cash tomorrow.
Definitely not. Okay, one more category, mutual funds or ETFs?
Yes, the diversifiers. Risk varies depending on what the fund holds. Could be stocks, bonds, commodities.
So moderate to high growth potential depending on the mix.
Exactly. And the big benefit is diversification, spreading risk across many assets. Liquidity is usually pretty good, medium to high. You can buy and sell them easily on exchanges.
So they offer a kind of balance, capturing market growth while smoothing out some of the bumps of individual stocks.
That's the idea, a tactical tool for balancing growth and managing risk exposure.
Okay, so pulling all that together, the takeaway seems clear. The savings account, unbeatable for safety, stability, quick access.
Its niche is secure flexibility.
But as a way to actually build wealth over the long term, it fundamentally falls short.
Massively short. Its job is security, not growth.
Yeah.
If your money doesn't need that instant access, keeping it in a basic savings account means you're actively choosing to sacrifice growth, potentially a lot of growth.
Okay. So that begs the question. If you do need safety and reasonable liquidity, but the pathetic returns of a basic savings account just aren't cutting it, especially with inflation. What else is there? Where's the middle ground between near zero returns and the volatility of the stock market?
Great question. And there are definitely better options for cash you want to keep safe, but still have work a bit harder.
Like what?
Well, first, there are the classic cash equivalents that offer higher yields. Think high yield savings accounts, HYSAs. They function just like regular savings, but pay significantly more interest.
Often online banks offer those, right? Lower overheads.
Exactly. Then you have certificates of deposit, CDs. You lock your money up for a fixed term, say 6 months, a year, 5 years in exchange for a guaranteed, usually higher interest rate. Less liquid than savings, though.
Right. Penalties if you withdraw early.
Usually, yes. And then, really importantly, there are money market funds, MMFs. These aren't bank deposits. They're a type of mutual fund.
But they're designed to be very safe, right?
Extremely safe. They invest in high-quality, short-term debt, like government T-bills. They aim to maintain a stable value, usually $1 per share, while paying interest that reflects current market rates.
So they adjust faster than savings accounts often do.
Much faster. That's why many investors use MMFs as a kind of parking spot for cash. They want to keep safe, but earning a competitive rate. It's a significant step up from a basic savings account in terms of yield, while keeping risk very low and liquidity high.
Okay, HYSAs, CDs, MMFs, better yields, still very safe. But what if you want something tangible, like the appeal of real estate, but without needing a huge amount of capital or tying up your money for years?
Now you're moving into slightly different territory. But yes, the sources we looked at pointed towards innovations addressing exactly that gap.
Digital platforms, fractional ownership.
Precisely. We're seeing the rise of crowd-funded real estate platforms, or what you might call digital asset aggregators. These companies use technology to basically break down large property investments into small, viable chunks. Fractional shares.
So I could own like a tiny piece of an office building or an apartment complex.
Exactly. You invest alongside others. The platform manages the property, collects rent, handles the operational side, and distributes the returns, potentially both rental income and appreciation, to the fractional owners.
And the entry point is lower.
Much lower. Our source material mentioned one platform in the Manao region, just as an example, where you could get started with as little as 500 SAR.
Wow. Okay. That's dramatically different from buying a whole property.
Night and day. The key thing isn't the specific platform, though. It's the mechanism. It takes an asset class income-producing real estate that was historically really difficult for average people to access.
High cost, low liquidity requires expertise.
All of that. And it transforms it into something potentially much more accessible, potentially liquid, depending on the platform's secondary market, and offering returns linked to real assets.
So it's trying to solve the liquidity problem and the capital problem of traditional real estate.
While also directly tackling the low return inflation risk problem of savings accounts.
Interesting. So you get the psychological comfort, maybe, of knowing your money is tied to a physical building.
Right. Backed by tangible assets, not just market sentiment or a bank's promise to pay low interest. It offers potentially higher returns than cash equivalents, but hopefully with less day-to-day volatility than the stock market.
A middle ground.
It aims to be that crucial middle ground, yeah. Focused on steady performance, tangible security, and genuine earning potential that a simple bank account just can't offer.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this whole thing. The core answer to our question, is a savings account an investment?
What's the verdict?
It's complicated, but leans towards no if we're talking about real wealth building. It's an essential tool, yes, fundamentally defensive. It protects your money, gives you instant access, offers a tiny bit of interest, indispensable for that short-term safety net role.
Absolutely. Can't argue with that.
But for actual long-term growth that outpaces inflation, the data is pretty clear. It's just not the right vehicle. It's not its primary job.
Right. So the decision for you, the listener, it really comes down to your financial timeline and your priorities for that specific pot of money.
Short-term need. Need absolute safety and instant access. Savings account or maybe an HYSMMF for better yield is probably your answer.
But the timeline is longer. Months, years, decades.
Then you have to look beyond the basic savings account. You need to explore alternatives. Bonds, stocks, real estate, maybe these fractional platforms that actively work to balance safety with real earning potential. Otherwise, inflation will just eat away at your capital.
Well said.
Okay, so final thought to leave everyone with. We've established that holding cash in a standard low-yield savings account pretty much guarantees you lose purchasing power over time due to inflation. It's a mathematical certainty, really. So if you accept that certainty, what's stopping you right now from moving any cash that doesn't need that instant next day access into something slightly better, like a high yield savings account or a money market fund or even a short term CD?
What's the specific hurdle? Is it inertia? Is it a behavioral bias? Fear of the unknown, maybe?
Yeah. Something to think about as you look at the cash portion of your own portfolio and make sure it's truly working as hard as it safely can.